The subject of surrogate motherhood has become much more significant with the advent of in vitro fertilization because it was discovered that it was possible for a couple to fertilize a zygote and then avoid the necessity of having the child's own mother go through the inconvenience of pregnancy by simply having someone else serve as a, if you will, a donor of her womb for the period of pregnancy. And surrogate motherhood can be undertaken for a whole variety of reasons, and the term surrogacy also has another implication now, which, as we'll see, the magisterium has recognized and regards as equally problematic. And that is that whereas the term is most commonly used to describe a woman who, after in vitro fertilization, carries a zygote which is not genetically related to her in any way, the term can also be used, and is often used in the lay press, to describe a woman whose own egg is fertilized by someone other than her spouse, and who therefore is carrying the child for that man. It is in fact her child, but the understanding is that she will not attempt to raise it, and that she will give it over to the biological father. It need hardly be added that there have been numerous and extremely complex legal problems that have arisen from this concept, owing to the fact that the states often are not able to legislate and have not chosen to legislate the complexities and potential relationships arising from these circumstances. And let's take a look at what the magisterium has specifically said. In 1987, in Donum Vitae, the subject of surrogate motherhood was specifically addressed. The question was asked, is surrogate motherhood morally licit? And the answer was no. And notice that it is for the same reasons that cause one to reject heterologous artificial fertilization, that is, someone choosing to have a child that is partly genetically their own, but which is not fertilized by their own spouse. And the reason given is that it is contrary to the unity of marriage and to the dignity of the procreation of the human person. So there is a fundamental flaw with the process that renders it illicit, both in the context of artificial insemination or artificial fertilization and the process of surrogate mother. But an additional series of reasons are offered why surrogacy is regarded as moral objectionable. And first, because it represents a failure to meet the obligations of maternal love, of conjugal fidelity, and of responsible motherhood. One has a woman who is effectively saying, I will lend my uterus to you for a period of as long as the gestation takes, but I have no intention of fulfilling maternal responsibilities after that. Also, and this is the second item that's highlighted, it defends the dignity and right of the child to be conceived, carried in the womb, brought into the world, and brought up by its own parents. That children have a right which is not articulated in society to be conceived, to be carried, and to be raised in the family of their biological parents. And then it sets up, in this last little note, to the detriment of families, a division between physical, psychological, and moral elements that properly constitute these families. So these are among the reasons why surrogate motherhood is rejected by the church. And notice that in its definition, the magisterium makes it clear that both of the meanings that are often applied to this term are covered by this instruction. Both the situation in which a woman is carrying an embryo that is not genetically related to her, and given by, quote, donors, unquote, although she in some sense is the donor of her own reproductive organs. And then in item B, surrogacy and these observations also apply to a woman who is carrying her own child but has no intention of raising the child and instead is going to pass it on to the biological father or the perhaps we should term it relationship unit in which the biological father is to be found, whether it's in a heterosexual or same-sexual relationship. It would be painful and tedious to attempt to recount all the various combinations and permutations of legal objections and concerns, to say nothing of the moral issues behind them, that have been raised with the advent of and the widespread practice of surrogacy. One need only remind oneself of the number of well-known, often famous people, many times celebrities, who have made statements to the effect that they are very happy to have made use of surrogates for carrying their children. These presumably are individuals who do not wish to carry a pregnancy themselves, but do want to become biological parents. In fact, in the developed world, in Europe and in the United States, this practice of surrogacy is extremely difficult because, of course, if the surrogate mother later decides that she wishes to invalidate the agreement, often the fact that she has biologically born this child gives her certain rights. And by the same token, the donor, whether of sperm or of ova, may have legal rights as well. So there are a whole host of legal issues and rather bizarre circumstances that can arise and have arisen. But I'd like to focus in particular at the other most important moral implication of surrogacy at the present time, and that is its phenomenon as a very specific occasion of the exploitation of vulnerable women. Impoverished women throughout the world are being exploited both as egg donors, and in some cases there are instances where women have been forcibly required to be egg donors. In some cases there is moral pressure placed on them. For example, in the fraudulent claims several years ago to have created a human blastocyst, it was later revealed that the researchers who had been working with the primary researcher who made these fraudulent claims had been pressured to donate ova for the research. But in fact, the practice is extremely widespread in impoverished nations where poor women can be pressured financially to donate not only their eggs but their bodies as well. And in fact, the practice of surrogate motherhood, as I've mentioned in the text of number 2, has now expanded into an international industry. And immediately below that, the green background is to an article that was published in 2010 in the Wall Street Journal, the article entitled Assembling the Global Baby. And I would like you to read that article. I don't intend to go over the details of it. I have no doubt that you'll find it both thought-provoking and horrifying. It describes the commercial practices in particular of the founder of an organization called Planet Hospital in California, which tries to contract out surgery and other medical therapies throughout the world, including surrogacy. The goal of this institution and of many like it is to enable people to simply send in their gametes, if at all possible, or to send in a frozen embryo so that the child can then be born or carried and then born in another country and then made available to the couple, avoiding all the legal ramifications of the protections of the child, of the mother who served as the surrogate, and of the biological parents, all of which become complex and interwoven, particularly in the United States and in Europe. So in some European countries which have less protections, this has become a practice, but it is most in particular a practice and an industry that is becoming a national industry in India. This is particularly true in India because, and this is the one section that I've highlighted in this article in a background of white with red text, no country has become a greater magnet for the business than India, which made surrogacy legal in 2002. There's an ample supply of inexpensive surrogates and egg donors, primarily women who discover that through offering their bodies for surrogacy or for egg donation, they can make much more in a single cycle or in a pregnancy than their husbands could possibly earn working for many years. This is, of course, an overwhelming inducement and is a tragic example of exploitation. There's little regulation, as the article notes, beyond guidelines for age limits and the prohibition of a woman acting as a surrogate more than 3 times. In general, when questioned about the effect of these kinds of laws in India, officials respond that these are simply moral objections that people in the West have and that they should not be critical. We will return to the subject of surrogacy in the next portion of the course when we look at the moral dilemma of frozen embryos.